You turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 9. I asked Brother Dick Clark to speak tonight at 6 o'clock. And next Sunday night, Brother Jeff Wills to speak at 6 o'clock. And then the third Sunday night is the time for Jacob to speak. So remember these men as they prepare messages. Try to get Gary to preach once in a while, but he's so busy with his business he hadn't had time to want to do it. So I'll get him one day when I get sick or something. I'll make him preach, you know, so we get to hear from him again. Haiti had the earthquake, most of you know, and they also are in the path of this hurricane that's coming that way. I don't know if it's upgraded from a tropical storm yet or not, but it's Fred, I think, is the name of it. And pray for the country. And, you know, Haiti needs the Lord desperately. They have become such a difficult poverty problem there that it's even dangerous for tourists to go there now. And so please remember the country of Haiti and those that are Christians and try to minister to people there, that the Lord would bless them and increase their abilities. And then Afghanistan is being taken over again by the Taliban as the United States pulls out the military. I don't have any easy answers for that. I hate to see that happen, but I do want to see, you know, our troops home and not have to be in a combat area forever. You would think after 20 years that they could have trained their own military. I hear these generals say they're not ready. Well, I had 6 months training before I went to Vietnam, and that was all any of us got. And some of the old guys graduated boot camp in World War II and went straight to war. And I did go through advanced weapons training and infantry training and jungle warfare training and raider training before going to Vietnam. You got all that done in less than 6 months. But I'm not saying I was fully prepared to go to war. I got a shock of my life flying into country at night to land in Vietnam and could see all these helicopters firing tracer rounds down and rockets going off. And I said, what in the world have I gotten myself into? But God was good. So pray for these other places. You know, when you look at Haiti and what they're going through, you look at Afghanistan, we don't have it so bad in America. There's so many blessings that we enjoy because of God's grace and mercy and because of Christian people in the past that helped shape this country into what it is. Is it a perfect nation? Of course not. It never has been. But it's far better than other places. There's not any other country I know of where people want to break in to get into it to live there, but they do here. So Matthew 9 and verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Father, as we look into your word today, I pray that you'll guide and direct what I say. Help me to be a blessing to your people, and I ask for your help to help your people through the Word of God today. And Lord, if there's anyone lost who hears the message, we pray for their soul before it's too late, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If we get time, we may look at the story in verse 18 through 26, where the ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus and asked him to heal his daughter. And as Jesus went with him to heal his daughter, a woman touched the hem of his garment and was healed of an infirmity she'd had for 12 years. I thought it was sort of remarkable that this woman had had this disease for 12 years. She tried going to doctors to get help. There was nothing that could do for her. And the girl that by the time they got there was lying dead was 12 years of age. So when that girl was born, who was about to be raised from the dead by Jesus, that woman came down with that infirmity. And the infirmity of blood is very serious among the Jewish people. She was to be considered unclean continuously. Just like having leprosy, she wouldn't be able to go to temple, she wouldn't be able to go to the synagogue, wouldn't be able to touch another person, because if she did, at least until sundown, they would be unclean. Now we're studying the works that Jesus wrought while he was in Galilee. We saw in the early chapter of Matthew 4 that Galilee is called Galilee of the Gentiles. In this passage it says that this is now Jesus' city. This is his home place that he's working for. He has stayed here the longest of the time period of the New Testament. He was born in Nazareth, raised in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but this has become his city of record. And it is here he returns after he's crossed the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and the storm came, and Jesus calmed the wind and the storm. I was praying yesterday for the Lord to do that. We've been staying at the campground. We had 2 weeks at the Ebenezer Park out here, and all that bad weather hit there about the worst of anywhere in York County. And several trees were torn down. One camper had a tree fall on it, and it fell across the road, and we had come home to get ready to move because of the weather. And we decided to wait till Joy Washlow to close. And on the way back, the worst of the weather came with hail and sheets of rain, and she could only drive about 20 miles an hour with the windshield wipers going wide open to be able to see to drive. And then when we got to the campground road, two different roads that you can get in, they were both blocked by trees down. So we came back home and waited, and the roads we drove through looked like in places ankle deep, with pine limbs and pine cones and pine needles and limbs off trees and leaves and all that sort of thing. And the Lord protected us, and we were able to go back later and get our camper and bring it home. Got home safe, and we thank the Lord for that. They say we may get some more rain this afternoon. Ira said he got 2.5 inches yesterday in Fort Mill where he lives. And we did need rain. But, you know, we're thankful the Lord protected us from the storm. We had a couple of big limbs down in the back of the church. One was laying on top of the air conditioning unit this morning, and another in the parking place where I park. And it came pretty good bit of wind around here, too. So we're thankful we didn't lose shingles or have damage. Or, you know, many of you suffered power outages. Jewel said her power was out for over 3 hours, and she got in her car, and her car temperature registered 111 degrees. And it was hot yesterday, and, you know, car temperatures go off the heat of the vehicle and the heat of the road and all that sort of thing, so they're not accurate. It was probably 94 degrees or something like that in the hottest yesterday, but the heat index was way up. So we're all be thankful that the Lord is in charge of the weather, and he showed that when he calmed the storm and the sea, even though it was coming into the ship. And when he got to the coast of the Gergesenes, two men came out of the tombs possessed of demons, many demons. They called themselves Legion, meaning a great number. And Jesus rebuked them. They went into the swine, ran into the sea, and the people of the city came out and asked Jesus to leave. They were afraid of him. They were fearing he was bringing judgment upon them. The demons were afraid that he was bringing judgment upon them. And so he immediately got in the ship and went back to Capernaum where he had left to come. So we see that Jesus was going there for this purpose, to free these two men from all these demons. And no doubt Satan had something to do with the storm that caused the sailors to fear for their lives. And Jesus accomplished it regardless. No storm or demons could stop him from his purpose and his plan to do exactly what he intended to do. Now he's entered the ship and returned back to Capernaum immediately after this episode there. After this miraculous deliverance of these men, he crosses the Sea of Galilee again, and the people of this region asked him to leave. They didn't want him to stay there for whatever reasons. God's work is always limited if there is a lack of faith in the people. If you'd like to turn there with me, look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58. Matthew 13 and verse 58. He had been in Nazareth, and the people there were astonished at him, and he rebuked them for not believing. He said, verse 58, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He rebuked Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and said if the mighty works that were done there had been done in these other cities that were under the judgment of God, like Sodom, he compared Capernaum to Sodom and said the judgment will be worse for you than it would be for Sodom because you saw all these miracles, and if they had seen these things, they would have repented. And yet they relied upon their religion instead of believing on Christ as the Messiah sent from God to save men and to set up his kingdom. In chapter 11 and verse 20 of Matthew, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And he gives the list of some of these places and says the judgment will be worse on those who've had opportunity. I want to say to you, America has had many opportunities to believe the gospel and be saved. There's a church on almost every corner. There's the gospel on television, the gospel on the radio. There are gospel tracts and bookstores that do nothing but sell religious material of books that people have written to tell the gospel, to tell of the power of God, to tell the history and theology about the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet America is about the fifth largest mission field with the amount of people that profess not to know Jesus Christ as their Savior here in America. Jesus returns to Capernaum. He may have returned to Peter's house. This may have been his point to come back to and to go from, as he had done and healed Peter's mother-in-law, who ministered to him immediately. Some who had faith in Jesus brings their friend to him to be healed. In Luke 5, this same story gives us some understanding. In verse 16, it's not in the right spot. Well, let me go back to Matthew chapter 9. I've lost my place. If you look at Mark 2, let me see if I can find it there. Yes. Mark 2, verse 1 through 8. Again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But when the certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Well, the whole point of this miracle is that the Lord Jesus Christ has the power and the authority to forgive sin and to heal the sick. This was a sign to the Jewish people of Messiah who was to come. And some, like the disciples, believed on Jesus as the Messiah of the Jews, as the Lord who had this power. But the religious leaders held on to their religion over believing in Jesus as the Savior. Now, this person was likely paralyzed. He had a palsy, is what it's called in the Bible. It could be from the result of a stroke, or it could have been a disease that come upon the person. I read in commentaries that this was a common malady in that day and time, that there was no medicine to give them that could cure them. Doctors and people of that day, often the religious group of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Levites that they came from, were those of the priests that people would come to when they had a malady, just like the Bible teaches. If they had leprosy, they were to go show themselves to the priest, and the priest would determine if they had a permanent type of leprosy, they were to separate themselves, and if they could possibly be healed of it, they were to go back to the priest and show themselves, and there were certain steps they were to go through. And so this was the real doctors that they went to help them. They didn't have what we have today with hospitals and CT scans and all the medicine that we have today. Praise God that they can help people today like they can, and so many things can be done. Miss Tina's going this next week or so and have a heart catheterization done. Remember her, she's been in a lot of pain, and she's going to find out if it's heart-related, if she's got any blockages or anything of that nature. D's still waiting for the VA to give him approval to go to a secular hospital and have a hip joint replacement. And people suffer in pain and difficulty waiting sometimes to get to the doctors today with the COVID. Hospitals are getting full again, and they make appointments sometimes a month and 2 months away just to get a test run when these kind of things are happening. Well, these friends that brought this man had faith. They believed if they could just get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus could help them. They no doubt had seen some of his miracles of healing. And so they immediately said, hey, our buddy's in bad shape. Let's take him to Jesus. Jesus can help him. And they can't get to Jesus. So they get up on the roof of the building or house, and they take the tiles off of the porch area, no doubt, where Jesus is. In a regular house, this multitude is gathered. Very few would have been able to hear Jesus. And so he's come out on the porch and is speaking to them, and they take the tile off. Let this man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, Son. I believe immediately with that coming from Jesus, this man would have been comforted. He said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. Forgiveness akin to cleansing is all men's greatest need. Everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be delivered from their sins. Everybody needs to be cleansed from the sin nature that they are born with by simply being a human being. Sin is a transgression of God's law. It defiles a man. It is corruption. Our bodies corrupt physically. And if you don't take a shower and bathe yourself, you'll stink in a short amount of time. I noticed that tremendously yesterday. And it wasn't my wife that was the problem. It was me. And I worked all day without taking a shower and, you know, got sweaty and all that sort of thing. And your body decays. Your outer layer of your skin comes off after a few days. And so the water gets really dirty. And there's enough dust under your bed if you got hardwood floors to make a man, you know, that comes off your body, the skin cells. And so we corrupt. We need a shower every day on the outside. We also need a shower on the inside because we're just as dirty to God in our sins as we are on our out of our body because of the work that we do. This man's disease, he was unable to help himself. He was unable to cure himself. His disease worked like sin, or sin works like a disease. A person sins and it infects them and it infects everybody they come in contact with. If we're a sinner living in wicked sin, we will influence other people. It doesn't have to be a terrible thing to influence people. We influence people all the time. We tell them about something we got on sale at Walmart and they go to Walmart to get it, you know. And we influence people. We tell them about a certain doctor. We tell them about a certain medicine. We tell them about a certain church. By the way, this church is the one you should tell people about. And people go there because they've been influenced. And people are influenced in the wrong ways. Peter was told to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit and to preach the gospel to the people. Peter said, I go a fishing. So what all the other disciples say? We go with you. And they left and went where they weren't supposed to be, doing what they weren't supposed to be doing. It wasn't a bad thing, but when you disobey God, it's a sinful thing. And Jesus appeared to them and said, Peter, do you love me? And he had to ask him three times. And he told him to go and feed my sheep, go and feed the lambs. God help us to be those that understand sin for what it is. It works like a disease. It infects us. And we influence other people with it. It secondly becomes an addiction that people have an impossibility to turn away from. A young man takes drugs and he takes drugs and he takes drugs and then he can't turn loose the drugs. They have created an addiction for him in his body and he must have them to keep going. Alcohol works the same way. It becomes an addiction. And therefore doctors call it a disease. I want to say to you, it's not a disease, it's a sin. But it works like a disease that it takes you under its control. Thirdly, it causes men to reject the church and God and the Bible because when they're living in sin, they'd be uncomfortable to sit in a church like this and hear the preaching of the Word of God. And so they reject it. They stay away from it. They find excuses to do something else. Fourthly, it is a rebellion against God, and therefore our sin is hostile against God. There is enmity between us and our sin and God, who is holy and absolutely righteous. And for us to continue in sin is a rebellion against what God has provided for us salvation and called to us to come and believe and promises us a reward if we do, but yet we reject and turn away. Fifthly, it affects the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Sin affects people. I've seen people get saved and come to church and be living good, and something happened, they get offended, they quit going to church. Next thing you know, they're cussing and smoking and drinking and all kinds of things like that. And only the grace of God that they come back to repentance and get straightened out, because if they don't do that, you may read their name in the obituary column pretty soon if they continue in that lifestyle. It affects the whole being. Number six, it robs people of self-respect. There's no peace. There's no joy. When they're practicing sin, They can't have a relationship that is good with God. Unless we confess our sin to God and forsake our sin, and if we do that, we can be cleansed and forgiven. And it's like God reaches out his arms to love us and bring us home where we need to be to the Lord. And then seventhly, people who are living in sin are troubled and they're empty. And if they haven't been saved, they're facing an eternal punishment unless they turn to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. And if they're saved, they're delivered. They're rescued. Colossians 1:13 says they're transformed out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He uses the word translated. He has translated us out of that darkness and sin and into the kingdom of light. And every transformation that happens from a sinner to a saint is to the glory of God and by the grace and mercy of God. It's all of grace. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You find that in Romans 3:10, but it quotes Psalm 14, verse 1 and 3. That's why it says, as it is written. There's none who understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Man on his own doesn't seek God and want to be saved. If you want to be saved and you know you're not saved, then thank God it's the Holy Spirit dealing with you to help you see Christ is the answer that you need in your life. And you should come to him quickly and be saved while there's an opportunity. You're in more danger than a man swimming in a bunch of sharks in the ocean if you know that you need to be saved and you're gambling with your soul, waiting and putting it off, and for some reason Satan's got you blinded to keep you where you are. God wants to save you and deliver you from that past life, and he will if you will allow him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, and that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then it begins to explain that in the past, we were all under the influence of Satan, the spirit of disobedience. He lured us with temptation, using our own desires for whatever and enhancing to us the desire to fulfill those things by the flesh and not by the will of God. But God, who's rich in mercy and grace, saved us and gave us his Spirit and gave us all that goes along with salvation, including the promise of a new body and a new home where we'll live forever and forever. Now this man, with all of his troubles with palsy, his greatest need was to be rescued from his sins. And that is the greatest need of every person that we know. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, secondly, were accusing Jesus in their heart and in their mind. This man speaks blasphemy. Nobody has the power to forgive sins but God only. Well, they were right in that case. It was only God that could forgive sins. And Jesus is God. And Jesus did forgive this man's sins. You can't tell, like if somebody comes down here this morning to the altar and somebody deals with them and they pray and ask God to save them and they go and tell their family, I got saved, thank God. They're going to thank God and praise God. But you know, people they work with and people that are even here in church may not see gigantic changes in that person immediately. It may take a little while that they start really seeing the difference in that person. When Joy and I got saved, I immediately quit drinking. I went home, poured out everything I had, never had another taste of alcohol since. And I was a heavy drinker at that time. I hung on to cigarettes for about 2 or 3 months and I laid those down. God helped me and I quit smoking. And now I tell people I don't smoke, drink, dip, or chew, and I don't go to movies with girls that do, you know. But all of that is by God's grace, not by me. I live that way. I cussed a lot, but not since I got saved. and I had long hair. Yeah, can you imagine that? I still had it on the top then, you know. It was down to my collar, you know. I had long hair. And about 2 or 3 weeks after I started going to church, I went to the barbershop and I said, give me a good one, you know. And he cut it off. And the people could see those changes taking place in my life. But it took a little time for them to see that. This man, these Pharisees and Sadducees wouldn't have seen that he was forgiven of his sins immediately, but when Jesus healed him also, they could see the immediate result of the power of God. He was able to get up and walk and carry his bed and go home unto his family. Now these men saw themselves as righteous and without the need of Jesus as their Messiah. They didn't see they had a need for forgiveness. And so they rejected the Lord to conserve their religious beliefs that gave them power over the people. Much like the Taliban in Afghanistan is doing right now. They control the people with their religion, and they don't want to give that up to give the people freedom to make their own choices. They believed in works and religion to earn salvation, but salvation is clearly in the Bible revealed to be by the grace and the mercy of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Jesus knew their thoughts. He could see their hearts. He knew their sins. So to show them he had the power as the Messiah, he not only forgave this man of his sins, but he healed his body. Praise God. His position as Messiah was revealed to these men. They had to reject that. His power as the Son of Man to forgive sins was shown to them by the healing of this man. His proof was in this lame man walking and carrying his bed. And his plan for man's redemption was revealed when he forgave this man of his sins. The multitude around there that saw it happen was filled with awe to see this take place, and they glorified God. May I say to you today that for every spiritual accomplishment we see taking place, and for every good gift that we enjoy, we should glorify and praise God. If you get saved and somebody says to you, boy, you're really doing well with your life now, aren't you? You better say, thanks be to God. Because it's His power and His grace that allows us to be changed and transformed. And every good thing about me is by the grace of God. Now, Jesus calls Matthew or Levi and makes him one of his disciples. And he goes to his home and eats a meal. And he calls sinners to repent while he's there. And then the official of the synagogue comes to him and asks him to go with him and to heal his daughter. And en route, the woman who touches the hem of his garment. I'll leave that to another message. Thank you for being here today. I pray the Lord blesses you. I pray you enjoy your salvation, that you rejoice in what God has done for you, that you give thanks for all the blessings you have and the good gifts of God. The Bible says every good gift comes down from above. All the wickedness, trouble, trials, problems, briars and weeds, all of that's a result of sin. But God would have us to be blessed and to enjoy what He has for us and look forward to your future. Boy, you got a great future to look forward to. One day we won't be having a prayer list with all our friends with troubles and problems and sickness and pain and aches. All of that will be delivered from one day with a new body. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Father, bless your people today, I pray. Encourage them in the faith that we might be good witnesses to give glory to God and to testify to others of how good God is. Helps to love you and serve you and be patient with man. And Lord, we pray for our loved ones that you would save them before it's everlastingly too late. We ask for your help today and we offer you our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.